I'd like to read from the prophet Isaiah in chapter 53, roughly the middle of the Bible. Chapter 53, I just want to read one verse. Verse 6, Isaiah 53, verse 6. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And Jehovah hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And then if we could read in Luke's Gospel and chapter 19, and again just one verse, verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. A few weeks ago, there was a birthday party which didn't end very well. There were 12 boys that decided they would celebrate their birthday by entering some caves, and they were very keen on football as well. I guess there's been a lot about football at the moment, hasn't there? They were keen football players. They decided to go into a cave, and they got lost in the cave, and they got into very great difficulties. And these boys in Thailand, you'll have all seen the news, no doubt, as to their rescue. And they were rescued, started last weekend, didn't it? And last week, I think all 12 of the boys and their coach that was with them were all safely recovered from that cave. Through water, they had to come out of the cave, and they were all saved. There was an enormous rescue plan that had to be done to secure their salvation. And what I want to speak about this afternoon and this evening is God's rescue plan for you and for me. Those boys in the cave, the local authorities there, having been then found them, they couldn't think of a plan to secure their salvation. And they almost gave up hope until the British divers that were there, they came up with a plan that they suggested, and as we know, it worked, and they were saved. You know, we might get into difficulties in our life, and we may be lost and feeling lost and at a distance, and we might give up all hope. But, you know, God has not given up hope. God has a plan, and God had a plan right from the creation of the world for yours and my salvation. And it's that plan I want to speak about. And I guess, why do we need rescuing? Why is it we're lost? And I guess the Bible tells us here, why I read some of these verses. It tells us here, all we like sheep have gone astray. We're all sinners, and I'm not here to tell you that you're a sinner, because I think we all know that we've all done wrong and we've done things wrong in our life. But it's a really essential part of the gospel that you do realise that you've done wrong. And that sin is what keeps you as a distance from God. It tells us, doesn't it, in the Bible, that the wages of sin, in other words, the result of sin, is death. And it's very plain, it's very simple, and it's very clear that, you know, the fact that you've sinned, it brings about death. And, you know, just as those boys, if they hadn't been saved, they'd have died. There's no question about it. And just like you and I, we're on a path, if we don't know the Lord as our Saviour, which will end in death. It's very clear in the Bible. The wages of sin is death. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned our own way. We all do it. We all think we know best, and we want to run our life. We want to go our way. We think of the Luke 15, don't we, quite a lot, about going astray and things being lost and found. And God's plan to rescue is seen beautifully in that chapter 15 of Luke's Gospel. It speaks about a woman that lost some money, and she sought diligently until she found it. And it speaks about a man that lost a sheep. He had 100 sheep, and one of them went away, like we read here, that went astray and got lost. And it says that in that parable in Luke 15, it says the man, having lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he find it. And that's what I want to just say a little bit about, is the way God would go after you until he find you. It says here in Luke 19, where we read, that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. It's very clear, everyone is lost and on a route and a pathway that will end in death. And God's rescue plan, as if I may speak of it like that, was thought out even before you and I were born, even before the world's foundation. God wasn't caught out when man sinned in the Garden of Eden and disobeyed God and questioned God, when Satan put the words, did God say, surely you won't die if you eat of that fruit? You know, Satan put in the words into man and questioned God. And that's what we do, don't we? We question, we think we know better, we think we can go our own way. We can be like the man in Luke 15 who decided he was going to take all the money he could get as his inheritance and would live a life away from his father, away on his own and enjoying himself. And it's a bit like the sheep that goes astray. The sad thing is that sheep follow each other, don't they? And you know, the sad thing about all of us, you know, we tend to follow somebody else and that leads us away. You know, we need to follow Jesus. We need to find Jesus as our Saviour. And if we follow him, he will save us and bless us. But the thing about the rescue plan of God is that God knew that we were lost. He knew that we were at a distance from him. And his plan was to send the Lord Jesus as his own son into this world to save you. And I guess the rescue plan is John 3 verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only beloved son. What a wonderful thing it is that he could send Jesus into this world so that you might be saved and blessed. Whosoever believes on him may not perish but have life eternal. That's the plan that God has, the plan that God made and worked out to secure your salvation. God doesn't want anyone to perish, tells us in Peter. I'll just quickly look it up. 2 Peter chapter 3. It says there, the Lord does not delay his promise, but is long-suffering towards you, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that's the wonderful thing about God's plan, is that he's worked it out for your salvation. He's done everything to secure your salvation, and he doesn't want you to perish, because the wages of sin is death, and there is hell, and there is distance from God forever because of sin. And what Jesus does is to bridge that gap between God and man. As away from God, Jesus can bring you together, bring us together, because of what Jesus has done in dying on the cross. So Jesus came here and he did some wonderful things, didn't he? And he did everything to show the heart of God. And that was again in God's mind, he should be revealed as himself, as a saviour God in Jesus. And Jesus did everything that was perfect and holy. He did everything according to his Father's will, such that he could lay down his life and shed his blood so that you and I might be saved. When we think about the plan of God, I think of it in three ways. There's the problem of sin. And then there's the penalty of sin, which we've spoken about, which is the fact we will die and death. But the payment for sin is what Jesus has done. And the payment for our sins was that he shed his precious blood. It tells us that we're redeemed not by corruptible things like money, but by precious blood as of a lamb without spot or blemish. And that was the one that laid down his life for me and washed my sins away. And so the payment for our sins and the payment and the means of us being saved and rescued from our sins was the cost of the Lord's life. How great that is, we'll never understand it. We think of it required the Lord to die. I don't know whether you knew, but one of the divers that were rescuing the 12 men, he lost his life trying to save those 12 boys. He was trying to get oxygen to the boys before they were rescued, and he ran out of oxygen while diving. And, you know, it tells us in the Bible, doesn't it? Someone might dare to die for somebody, but God commends his love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, Jesus knew absolutely that he was going to die for you and for me to secure God's plan of salvation, to rescue you from your sins, and that's what Jesus did. The awfulness of where we are as away from God, we need to recognise. Those boys were in absolute darkness, in a cave. Their torches had probably run out completely, and they were there for nearly, what was it, just over a week, wasn't it, before anybody found them. And, you know, they'd have realised something of real, true darkness. There would have been no light there whatsoever. They wouldn't have been able to see their hand in front of their face. Colossians 13 tells us that we've been delivered from the authority of darkness and translated into the Son of his light, I think it is, or kingdom of his, I have to look it up, sorry. Kingdom of his love, is it? Thank you. Son of his love, thank you. And I was just thinking about the darkness that those boys were in, and that's like us in our sins. It's complete and real darkness, and yet we're taken from that darkness by the precious blood of Jesus and what he's done, and we're taken into wonderful light that's seen in Jesus. You know, those boys, when they came out of those caves, they had to wear sunglasses because it was so bright, the light, when they came out. You know, one day we'll see Jesus, you know, and his glory will be brighter than the noonday sun. You know, Jesus is a wonderful person. He's my saviour. He's the one that has saved me, the one that I've trusted in. But, you know, Jesus seeks us, tells us the Lord, where we read, didn't it? He is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus says, we'll find you. You know, Jesus is there looking for you tonight. The gospel, in that sense, Jesus has done absolutely everything for you to be saved. There's nothing for you to do. Those boys could do nothing to save themselves. It required somebody else to save them. And that's absolutely the same when we look through the Bible and we see what God has done in his illustrations. We think of Jonah, perhaps, in the Bible, where he was running away from God, disobeyed God, and he ran away and he was cast into the sea and he was swallowed by a fish, and the fish saved him and rescued him, and he was brought back to dry land. And he repented, didn't he? And that's what we need to do. We need to repent of our sins, accept Jesus as our Saviour, as the one that is here to rescue you, and the one is able to save you, and accept God at his word that he is there to bless you and to save you. And you know, Jonah went and preached the preaching of repentance and did as God had instructed him, and many were saved as a result of the work of Jonah. We've thought about the sheep that was lost and the man that went away into a distant country. You know, the Lord, in that passage, the Father was looking after him and looking out for him, And as soon as he repented and turned and came back, and that's what repentance is, recognizing that you'd done wrong and that you needed to come back to Jesus. Come back to Jesus. And the Father, it says he saw him and ran and fell upon him, covered him with kisses and showed affection. And that's what God will do in the gospel. It's a gospel means good news. You know, and that's the wonderful thing about the salvation is God's rescue plan is to provide you with good news, to give you salvation, to give you salvation from your sins and to give you the knowledge of the Lord Jesus as your Saviour. So as I say, Jesus was the plan that God had right from the outset for you to be saved. And Jesus has died, he shed his blood and he's died and was buried in the grave and he rose again from the dead. And the rescuing is all about giving you a new life. I don't know about those 12 boys. One would like to think, and I would hope everybody that's considered the story as we've read it in the news will be affected by it. I don't know whether those boys will come to know the Lord Jesus as their Saviour or not. But I'm sure going through a circumstance like that where they perhaps realise that they were to die and they were rescued, you know, I trust that they would come to know the Lord as their Saviour and realise that it was in God's hand that these things happen. And when we're saved and rescued, they've been given a new life in that sense to live. And the salvation for us is a new life in Jesus. And that's a really important thing. It's completely different. We're changed. We're still sinners, or we still sin, should I say, but that sin has been washed away and that sin has been forgiven by the work of the Lord Jesus. And so although we may do wrong still, we can point to the blood of Jesus and it washes our sins away. It's done it for time and for eternity, never to be repeated again. It's one act that had to be done to rescue us. And Jesus has done it. You simply need to have the faith to accept it for yourself and allow Jesus into your life. Accept him into your heart and he will completely save you. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's very simple. We just need to accept God at his word, and Jesus has done everything to secure your salvation. Fanny Crosby, who some of you will know, is a well-known hymn writer. Her hymn, Rescue the Perishing. The chorus verse reads, Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. I think that just illustrates simply what God has done to rescue you and me. Jesus is merciful. What that means is he shows us mercy. When we don't deserve it, when we're lost and sinners and away from God, Jesus is merciful and desires, as God does, that all men should repent and be saved. And that's what Jesus has done. And that hymn ends, Jesus will save. There's no question, Jesus will save. That's Isaiah, it says, doesn't it? We're in Luke, that which is lost. There's absolutely no question we're lost, but there's absolutely no question in the gospel that Jesus will save. And all you need to do is accept Jesus at his word, believe it for yourself, and he will save you tonight. May you do so for his name's sake. Amen.